There is a particular kind of frustration a pilot learns the hard way, somewhere over a busy, controlled airport in the middle of the afternoon, when the tower comes back with the words every general aviation pilot has heard at least once. November 326, hold east of the field, expect further clearance in 20 minutes. 20 minutes. 20 minutes. You are now flying a racetrack pattern at 3,000 feet because the airspace is full and the controller is sequencing 14 airplanes ahead of you. You did everything right, you filed the flight plan, you called the right radio, you burned the right amount of fuel to be exactly where you are. And the answer is, sit in the holding pattern. Wait your turn. There is no faster. This is Runways and Rent Rolls, the flight plan for serious property operators. Welcome aboard. If you have filed a residential eviction in Sacramento County in the last 12 months, you already know the holding pattern feeling. You did everything right. You served the notice the way the statute requires. You waited the 3 days. You filed the unlawful detainer the day after the notice expired. And then the airplane in front of you was about 50 other unlawful detainer filings sitting in a queue at the Sacramento Superior Court Clerk's office. And the airplane in front of that one was the e-filing system the court rolled out in June of 2024, which doubled the backlog from about a month to almost two. And the airplane in front of that one was the roughly 8% budget cut California's trial courts absorbed, which took the overtime money the court had historically used to clear the queue. CBS Sacramento ran a piece in September of 2024 with the actual number, 57 days of backlog before the court even processes the case. The court's stated goal is 2 weeks. The reality is 2 months, plus everything that happens after. You can do everything by the book and still find yourself in the racetrack pattern at 3,000 feet, watching 12 months of rent quietly walk out under a tenant who figured out that California's current eviction calendar runs on something other than the old assumption. Here is the working number, not the comfortable one. A clean, uncontested non-payment eviction in Sacramento County in 2026, meaning the tenant doesn't answer, doesn't fight, doesn't demur, doesn't demand a jury, just lets the case run by default, takes you about 90 to 120 days from the day you serve the 3-day notice to the day the Sacramento Sheriff's Civil Bureau performs the lockout. A contested case can run 6 to 12 months, sometimes longer. In 2019, by comparison, a clean, uncontested California unlawful detainer ran roughly 30 to 60 days from notice to lockout. The math, in plain English, is that the same clean case now takes you somewhere between 2 and 4 times as long as it did years ago. And the rent doesn't pause. The mortgage doesn't pause. The cost of capital on the property doesn't pause. None of it pauses. The only thing that paused for 2 of those years was your right to evict at all. Let's walk how we got here, because the path matters for what you do about it. The COVID statewide moratorium, codified through Assembly Bill 832 and the related Tenant Relief Act, ran from roughly March of 2020 through September 30th of 2021, with the COVID rental debt notice mechanics extending into March of 2022. For about 18 months, residential non-payment eviction in California was effectively impossible. Tenants who hadn't paid rent in a year couldn't be removed. Landlords learned to live with arrears the size of a used car. And the courts, which had been caught up in 2019, ended that period with backlogs they have never fully cleared. Then came the post-COVID legislative cycle. Senate Bill 567, signed in 2023 and effective April 1st of 2024, tightened the Tenant Protection Act of 2019. If you are doing an owner move-in eviction, you or a qualifying family member now have to actually move into the property within 90 days and stay for at least 12 continuous months as a primary residence. If you don't, you have to reoffer the unit to the tenant you displaced at the same rent, and you can be on the hook for actual damages, treble damages, attorney's fees, and punitive damages. Treble damages means 3 times the actual harm. Owner move-in is not a soft exit anymore. It is a hard, expensive 12-month commitment with teeth. Assembly Bill 12, signed in 2023 and effective July 1st of 2024, capped residential security deposits at 1 month's rent, regardless of furnished or unfurnished. The old cap was 2 months unfurnished and 3 months furnished. There is a small landlord carve-out for natural person owners with no more than 2 properties and 4 units total, which still allows 2 months. But for most operators of any scale, the deposit reserve against move-out damage and unpaid rent shrank by half or more. Then Assembly Bill 2347, signed in September of 2024 and effective January 1st of 2025, doubled the time tenants have to respond to an unlawful detainer summons. The old window was 5 calendar days. The new window is 10 court days, excluding weekends and judicial holidays, roughly 2 business weeks. Add 5 additional court days if you served by mail. The same statute also lets the tenant file a demurrer or a motion to strike, which forces the court to set a hearing 5 to 7 court days out. Every contested case now runs at least 1 extra week, often 3 or 4, before you even get to the answer phase. 2 more from the same 2024 cycle. AB 2493 tightened the front end, application screening fees, refund rules, the order in which applications get reviewed, which doesn't directly extend evictions, but shapes the cohort of tenants you take in. And AB 2747 added a positive rent payment credit reporting offer landlords have to make to tenants, which is also a screening side touchpoint, not an eviction one. The eviction record sealing law itself, the one tenant screening services run against, is older. AB 2819, codified at Code of Civil Procedure Sections 1161.2 and 1167.1, took effect January 1st of 2017. Every limited jurisdiction unlawful detainer record is automatically masked from public records unless the landlord wins judgment within 60 days of filing. If the case drags past 60 days, which most contested cases do under current Sacramento conditions, the record is permanently masked. The tenant screening services running on these masked records are working off an incomplete picture by design. That has implications for how you screen. That is the landscape. That is the airspace you are now flying in. The framework for the next 10 or 12 minutes of this episode is just 3 lenses on it. What it means if you manage the property, what it means if you're underwriting an acquisition, and what it means if you're financing one. You. Start with the property management lens. The clean takeaway is that the notice is no longer the start of the eviction. The notice is the start of paperwork that the court will process, eventually, when the queue clears. Operators who treat the notice the way they treated it in 2019, 3 days, file the unlawful detainer, sheriff in 30, are running a 2019 mental model on a 2026 calendar. The 2026 calendar reads notice plus 10 court days for tenant response, plus court processing time, padded by the current backlog, plus writ, plus 5-day notice from the sheriff, plus the actual lockout. Each segment is precise. The accumulation is what catches operators who haven't done one in a few years. 3 operating consequences land on the property manager. First, the 3-day notice has to be flawless. Code of Civil Procedure 1161 requires the notice to state the exact amount of rent due, the name and address and phone for payment, the days and hours payment can be received in person, and at least 1 of the 4 allowed payment methods. A defective notice gets the unlawful detainer dismissed at demurrer, and you reset the clock by another month plus court time. You do not save money on this notice. Second, you do not lock the tenant out yourself. Self-help eviction is illegal in California. Only the sheriff lawfully removes a tenant after a writ. Even 1 cut utility, even 1 changed lock, gives the tenant a tenant rights cause of action that costs more than the entire eviction would have. Third, you cannot screen your way out of the timeline by hoping eviction history will surface in a tenant screening report. Most mass cases do not surface. Application discipline, income verification, prior landlord verification, and AB 2493 compliant fee handling are the front door defenses that actually work. Move to the investment lens. If you are buying a Sacramento rental property in 2026 and there is an in-place tenant, you are buying that tenant's lease and that tenant's payment history, and if applicable, that tenant's pending eviction. Your acquisition underwriting has to price 3 things the 2019 deal sheets did not. First, the realistic vacancy gap if the property arrives empty after a lockout. typically at least 1 month of make-ready, often two, before releasing. Second, the legal cost of the eviction itself, if you inherit the unlawful detainer from the seller, attorney fees, court costs, and your own management time. Third, the holding costs stack on the property during the now extended court timeline, mortgage, taxes, insurance, utilities, and the no rent line for whatever calendar runs from acquisition to lockout to release. Concretely, if your underwriting model assumes a 30-day eviction recovery on an in-place delinquent tenant, you are using a 2019 number. If you rerun the same model with a 120-day uncontested recovery, then add releasing time, the cap rate moves materially, sometimes by enough to kill the deal. The discipline is to underwrite the bad case explicitly, label it on the pro forma, and decide whether the cap rate at the bad case timeline still pays the operator's required return. If it doesn't, the price comes down or you walk. The number on the page beats the feeling in the room, even when the feeling in the room says the property is a great fit at 5% vacancy. Move to the lending lens. There is a real use case for RG Bridge Capital on a Sacramento acquisition where the in-place tenant is in eviction proceedings. The seller wants out. The conventional lender will not write the note while the property has an active unlawful detainer, and the buyer needs a vehicle that can carry the property across the recovery period. Bridge Capital fits. We do not quote rates on this show. We do not promise consumer mortgage products. ARG lending is business purpose hard money only, secured by the property, 12 to 24 months of term, the kind of vehicle an investor uses to span an eviction and recovery window before refinancing into a stabilized loan once the unit is leased and seasoned. The discipline on this lender side is the same discipline we apply to the investment side. You underwrite the bad case. You assume the eviction takes the long version, not the short version. You size the bridge to carry the property through 6 to 12 months of holding cost without distress. You build the conventional refinance into the exit path before you fund. If the math doesn't pencil at the bad case timeline, the deal isn't financeable. We will not put a borrower into a bridge that fails the bad case test, because a bridge that fails the bad case test is a bridge to a forced sale. That is not what business purpose lending is for. Three lenses. One reality. The property manager is fighting the holding pattern with paperwork discipline and tenant screening rigor at the front door. The investor is pricing the holding pattern into the cap rate so the deal still works at the long timeline. The lender is sizing capital to outlast the holding pattern so the borrower doesn't get pushed into a sale at the wrong moment. They are not three different conversations. They are one conversation, run from three seats in the same airplane. If you are sitting on a Sacramento property right now where you think you might need to file or where you have already filed and the case is somewhere in the queue, the runway sign on the page below this episode says property, and that is where you click through to book a free 30-minute consultation. Bring your last 12 months of rent ledger, the existing notice if you have one, and the current lease. We will walk the math on what the realistic timeline looks like and what the holding cost will run. And if you are ever interested in becoming a pilot yourself, do not hesitate to reach out. Pilots like talking to other pilots, and the math on whether a runway is long enough is not that different from the math on whether you can outlast a holding pattern. You have been listening to Runways and Rent Rolls, where altitude meets asset management, the flight plan for serious property operators. Until next week, fly the panel.